Boy, I wouldn't gamble on missing that one. Wouldn't take a chance for any pleasure of this world. Boy, the longer you're saved, and the more you look back at the foolishness of your life you lived before salvation, you hate it more and more and more and more.
Yes.
Say to yourself, and I've said that to myself 100 times, what a fool I was. Really, what a fool I was to waste my life, give it to this world. For what? For what? This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. I don't know why. I wasn't thinking or didn't look at it, but I started studying verses 3 and 4. And I'm not bragging or boasting or anything on myself. I did some intense study. I mean, I sat for a number of hours, a couple of times, studying verses 3 and 4. And lo and behold, I opened my Bible the next morning, and it was just like, you didn't finish verse 2. Oh, no. I said, my, all that study? But it's not in vain. I got the notes down, and I got it set aside, and I wrote on top of the notes next Thursday. So I'll use this thing. But I believe the Spirit of God wanted me to just deal with this a little bit. Paul is looking back here and seeing we have this ministry in verse number 1. Seeing we've got this ministry. And so from that perception of what he's burden he's going to bear, what he's going to have to do, what he's going to have to say to himself, how he's going to deal with himself. So important. He realizes, what a responsibility I'm going to have. Seeing this ministry, just picturing that men are going to, and women and children are going to be listening to me. And I'll be manifesting things to their conscience that they'll never forget. Woe unto me if I say the wrong thing. And so the Apostle Paul is willing to shoulder this responsibility. He looks at it, seeing we have this ministry. Notice the last words he says in chapter 4 and verse number 1. We faint not. You know what that's saying? We never quit. We never give up. We keep going regardless of the cost. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to give up, not to cave in, not to allow the things to pressure you, to hinder you. Just keep going. And so he looked at this. He realized this responsibility, the burden that's going to be weighted upon him. And he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't quit. He'd keep going regardless. And I believe you can see that. You read the epistles, what he suffered. And he certainly, you could say he was kind of like in the old ones in the Old Testament. He wouldn't bend. He wouldn't bow. And they couldn't kill him. Not till the end, not till he finished his course, kept the faith. Before that, they tried every way they could. They stoned him. They thought he had him dead. He was in the deep different times, beaten, all these things. But he kept going on. And so I marvel at that determination that Paul had, and how he wasn't like old Earl Hughes says. He didn't lose his purpose. Brother Hardman, Mrs. Hardman wrote me yesterday and said she hadn't heard, and so she called and Mrs. Hughes's daughter, and her daughter says, yeah, Mom's 97, did she say? Says, doing fine. She said her son gives her Kit Kats, and she claims that's what's keeping her going. I just thought I'd mention Earl Hughes. But Apostle Paul, he's going to shoulder this responsibility. He realizes the souls of mankind are going to be, no doubt, their destiny. Did you ever think of that? That ever weigh in your mind and heart? That the eternal destiny of people around you might be because of what you put on their mind and heart, what you say, do, live in front of them. And so the Apostle Paul, he shoulders this responsibility, seeing I've got this ministry. And the ministry is described here in chapter 3, all that is going to be now a New Testament ministry for him. And it's brand new. He's dealing with something that's not the old way. It's the new way, the new living way. And so he's taken on this responsibility in a time of transition. He tries to reach the Jews. He says in Romans 9 and 10 that he'd give his life for to see the Jews saved. But they treated him as they did the Lord Jesus. He went to them, and they rejected him. And so Apostle Paul just kind of gave up aiming at the Jews and senators' ministry. He called himself the apostle of the Gentiles. And I take that personally. I like that. Paul is our apostle. Yes. The rest of them went to the Jews. Paul went to the Gentiles. He felt God called him and sent him to the Gentiles. And so I like to read his epistles. You know why? I'm a Gentile. Yes, and so I know he's speaking to me. And so I want to, that's why I was, I'd like to see what all he has to say is responsible for me. As my apostle. Well, Apostle Paul, let me hurry on. He has to deal, he kind of like vows, or can I say to you, he said here in verse number 2, he's talking about, he said, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He's saying here that he's going to depart from all these things. What he's saying is, I'm not going to have any part of my life. I'm not going to do any of these things. If I'm going to be a minister, as God's called me to be a minister, his spirit has worked in my life. And I think I give you the places in Timothy and stuff where he was thankful God called him and putting him into the ministry. And so he's saying, I have renounced. I've separated myself, and I will not allow any of these things, the dishonesty and the mishandling of the word of God deceitfully. He said, I've renounced those things. I'll not use those things. I'll not let them have any part of my life. I'm not going to be deceitful in my preaching. I'm not going to tell things to people that's not true. I'm not going to make promises to them that's a lie. I'm not going to try to influence them in a subtle, maybe a way through philosophy instead of the truth. I'm not going to try it any way just to change people for my advancement, for filthy lucre's sake, or for position. I just read you what this man said, why a lot of the churches are weak, because they, one of the reasons they fear the face of the people. You get up here and you get a message that God gives you and it's going to deal directly with sin. And there's a spirit that kind of comes around you and warns you. You preach that, so-and-so is going to leave. And so-and-so is going to get mad. And so-and-so won't come back if you preach that. You know that. Any preacher that preaches against sin is going to hear that voice. Or else he isn't battling in his preaching. So the Apostle Paul, he's determined that come what may, no matter what happens, no matter what it takes, he is not going to use deceitful things. He's not going to try to trick people, trap people. He's not going to try to move people through psychology and philosophy and all these things. He's going to deal with the truth. He's going to preach the truth. He's going to try to stamp the truth on the minds, on the conscience of people. What a job. What a responsibility. What a calling it is to realize that you're going to put impressions. You're going to put things on people's minds, their conscience. You're going to put thoughts. You're going to put views. You're going to put pictures. You're going to put things on their conscience that cannot be erased. Hope you realize that. You remember the lifestyles of people years ago? You remember certain people that you can look back and you can tell right now. You wouldn't be a problem for you whatsoever to stand and tell what kind of a personality that person had. You can tell you can say that person was just friendly and precious and godly and a holy person. I watched them down through life and you can see just God working in their lives. You can name them. You can stand tonight and testify that. Why could you do that? Because it was impressed. It was manifested to your conscience. Their lifestyle, the way they treated people, the way they lived holy, the way they was kind and gentle and compassionate. And so their life stood out. You hear me often talk about my dad and what I can see. And that's what this perceiving is. When you start dealing with the conscious, it's things that you just perceive, they stamp these things upon your mind. You're reading them and sensing them and dealing with them in your conscience. And it stays. It sticks. It's indelible. It's not erasable. You can't take it off. That's why I think I used to say often, you can't afford 5 minutes of backsliding, let alone a month or two out in the world. You can't recover that. You can't overcome that. You can't erase that. I don't care what you do. You've seen over these, some of you have been here 40 years or more, and you've seen them come and go. You've seen them stand and give testimony and tell how they loved God and walked with God and they knew God spoke to them. A year or two later, you see them out there in sin. Can you forget that part and just remember the good? It's stamped in their conscience. That's what it's talking about here. He said, not walking crafty or handling the word of God to see, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Implanting these things into the conscience of the people. And so it's a frightful thing in a way. You wonder, how many is going to stand before the Lord and say, so-and-so didn't live up to what they claimed, what they've testified to. You see, we don't live in reality. We live in a fantasy and a love for ourselves, thinking, well, you know, I tried, I'm able to kind of brush all those things that I do outside. There ain't one of you can't remember somebody that mistreated you, somebody stole from you, somebody lied about you. You can remember things in your childhood just as clear, just as vivid, just as sharp as if it just happened yesterday. But yet we take it for granted that all the people around us just forget everything we do. Paul said, I want to manifest the truth. I want to put that in the minds of people's conscience, the truth, not a lie, not deception, not somebody that tried to fool them and just told them jokes and toyed with their soul and lied to them about what salvation really was. I want to express truth, command the truth, implant the truth on their conscience that they'll never forget. You can read, as I said, you can read the epistles that Paul wrote. And he did just that. You'd be surprised, the men of God that's tried their best to prove that Paul sinned. They'll rest the scriptures the best they can. I remember a man I highly esteemed. Oh, I loved to hear him preach. I'd drive miles to hear him preach. And I can remember him preaching about Paul. And he said, Paul, just before he died, and you'll find this verse in Timothy, Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. But he wasn't speaking about then. He's speaking when God saved him, he was the chief of sinners. At least he felt he was. He thought he was that wicked. He said, why? Because I persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood there and held a coat while they stoned Stephen. I was a wicked, I ain't nobody's worse than I am. He didn't say I'm that way now. That preacher tried to stress it because they couldn't find any other place. You won't read this book. Read this book over and over and over and over and over and over again. You won't find these apostles going out living in the flesh. You go ahead and search. You won't find it. You will not find them backslidden, going out of the world, coming back 2 or 3 weeks later, 2 or 3 months later, 2 or 3 years later. No, you won't find that in the Bible. Now I've preached to you people, some of you over 40 years. If I got into some kind of a sin, I don't care what it is. Do you know what you'd only remember of me? That sin. That's why, and I try my best, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just trying to be serious and sober with it. One of the reasons I stay off, and I don't magnify David's sin. The Bible makes it clear, this sin to David and the rest of his life, the remainder of his life, he walked with God. He pleased God. He lived for God. All people can think about is David's sin. You know why? Because they think it really gives them the privilege to live in sin and still be right with God. You wouldn't want to face what David faced for that sin. They say the sword never left his home. Even when that was at Simei, that's up on the bank, and he was cursing David, throwing rocks at David, and David's general says, let me go up there and cut his head off. David says, no, don't touch him. I deserve that. I deserve that. I deserve that. Paul wanted to make it clear that he knew that somebody was watching. Not only is there a, and I don't know if that's angels. I don't think it's people that's gone to heaven. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't think they could take it, what's going on earth. The Bible says we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And we are. I don't know how much they can see in hell. But the rich man in hell said, Father Abraham, send somebody to my brothers, lest they come to this awful place of torment. I remember Sammy, I've heard him preach the message probably, I've heard him probably personally preach it, I'm just going to say a number of times. He said, and the title of the message was, Some Things in Baptist Churches, Some Things in Hell We Need in Baptist Churches Today. And one of the first points was, uplifted eyes. That's one of the first points. We have people watching us constantly. No man liveth or dieth to himself. Somebody's watching you. I need to say that in the mirror. Somebody watching you. Somebody's watching you. It's like the story they tell about the man slipped out of the house and started across the field, snowing, and he's heading to the bar. They tell this story. Said, he happened to look around back towards the house, and here's this little boy trying to step in those prints in the snow. Back said, son, what are you doing? He said, trying to follow in daddy's footsteps. I don't know how, but that's about the way it is. Like father, like son. Chip off the old clock. She acts just like her mom. Did you ever hear those statements? You've seen that, the truth of that. Saying if there's anything we can, I want you to see this. Look at the last five words in verse 2. He said, and he said to every man's conscience, then he says, in the sight of God. We're not ministering to people that God hates. We're ministering to people that God loves their souls. He's not willing that any should perish.
and he's watching.
I'm saying, often we think so. It doesn't make difference how we live. You know, we pretty well convinced that we're all right and we're going. And they used to make statements years ago. I'd say a lot of people say to themselves, us four and no more. You've heard them say it, us four and no more. You know, this is hard to preach in a way, but we have a hard time seeing any faults in ourselves. And here's the scary thing about it. You will not find a person. You will not find a person that will tell you the truth, what they really think about you. We all have high opinions of ourselves. But believe me, our life might be different in the eyes of others. And that's why Paul says, oh my soul, I renounce all the things that would be deceptive, that would hinder people from coming to Christ, that would just scatter them instead of gathering them, would cause them to turn away from Christ. He said, I've renounced that. You remember the song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior? Did you know one of the verses says, I have renounced all sinful pleasures? You remember that? I'm vowing before God, I'll have nothing to do with them. I've renounced them. They'll not have any part of my life. I'm through with them. I'll never do them again. I'm done. Paul says, all I want to do is plant the truth in the minds of people and plant that word and plant a good testimony before everyone. We used to talk a lot about that and think about it. You'd hear people say, I don't want to soil my testimony. I want to keep a good testimony. You used to hear a lot in their testimony. They'd talk about they want to keep a good testimony. Good conversation. A good lifestyle. Something that people will never forget. I can't for a moment forget all that my dad went through in his walk with God. I can see the persecution and the abuse he was used. I could see him helping some preachers and they'd turn around and turn on him. And he'd sweat with labor and visit and work physically to help build the buildings. I've seen it over and again. I got it from him, whistle. He just whistled and go on. I guess why they say that song, whistle while you work. You just keep going. Let stuff go. You don't carry it with you. Just keep going. That's stamped upon my mind. You couldn't get it off. I've got a newspaper article. It's when newspapers used to tell some truth. And they said George Owen is going around and he's gathering metal and stuff. Newspaper writer. I've got a home. I can show you this article. And the newspaper writer says, I don't really think that's what he's doing majorly. I think he's doing is getting an opportunity where he can tell people about his religion. That's what the newspaper wrote. That's quite a commendation. Quite a commendable. Very commendable to have them write it. I'm saying that. Life's so short. We have such a brief time to set an example, to be truthful in our life, to teach children, to teach our neighbor, teach our loved ones. You can. You really can serve God, live for God, love God, walk a holy life. You really can. You could take all the Bible you want to, all the sin and religion you want to. You'd never erase the testimony of my dad. You'd never erase the testimony of my Sunday school superintendent, Brother Ray Smith. You'd never seen him mad. You'd never seen him down. If you seen him walking down the streets, sometimes he'd have children hanging on to him. All the kids loved him. They couldn't get away from him. I told you he'd take us on bus rides to mountain climb. That's where I got it from. 80 years old, he was sitting beside me in Peg's house. And it was her birthday, and Brother Ray Smith was there. He was 80. And I was joking to him. I said, Brother Smith, remember we went that one time, it was raining all the way there, and you was making us kids sing Heavenly Sunshine. It was raining, and we're going to take a hike, and it's raining. He says, I remember. We pulled in, and the sun come out, and we climbed a mountain. He said to me, this is Brother Owen, I never had to cancel one of the outings that I'd planned. Wow! What are you saying? I'm saying that's a truth that needs to be planted in the minds of people today. You can serve God. You can walk with God. You can be blessed with God. You can live holy in this life. They're lying when they say you can't. The Bible says you can. And you know people that have. It's nice to have that stamped on your conscience. I know people that walked with God. Amen. Shall we stand? Amen. It's her birthday today. She's 39.